Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you on a Thursday. Appreciate you tuning in. Our sister station up in Pittsburgh, 93.7 The Fan, their afternoon show had John Clayton on yesterday. Here was John Clayton when the hosts of that show, Andrew Filippone's voice is the one you're going to hear here. He is one of the hosts of that show. They were looking to see if, from Clayton, if he figured J.J. Watt to the Steelers was a possibility. Here is what John Clayton had to say.
You think J.J. Watt comes here?
No, I don't. I think it's going to be Tennessee, Buffalo, or Green Bay. Probably more Tennessee or Green Bay. Outside chance of the Raiders. So I'm anxious to see what Watt's going to be able to get.
You said Tennessee, Green Bay, and Buffalo, John? Those are the three you're hearing? Tennessee, Green Bay, Buffalo?
Yeah, then Raiders, too.
Okay.
Okay, so that got construed as a report that J.J. was down to three teams with a fourth team as a dark horse. It really, as you listen there, I play that because I know a lot of you probably saw the reports of that. It was really more of an opinion than it was a report from John Clayton. Seth, I guess the weirdest part of that whole thing isn't Buffalo, Green Bay, and Tennessee being in the pole positions for J.J. Watt. Where the hell did the Raiders come in?
The Raiders, and also I don't believe that the Titans are in the pole position. Maybe they are, and maybe just because of his relationship with Vrabel or what have you, that maybe they've had more talks. I don't know. The Raiders would be a curious one because you do get the sense that J.J. wants to go to a place where, at the very least, they're contenders. You know, he's not going to just go to the place that has the absolute best chance of winning a Super Bowl. Because, and I think a lot of it, like, this isn't the current NFL, other than if you can go to the Chiefs, I don't think it's quite like that. The Bucs have issues as far as which free agents are going to be able to retain. I don't see the Raiders. I also wonder, the first thing I thought with this, Sean, is I imagine JJ's agent, after some report like this comes out, has got to be like, oh, great. Now I got to call the other dozen teams that we're talking to. Because there's reports that it's about a dozen teams that he's talking to. Yep. And reassure them, like, hey, listen, just so you know, that we have not narrowed our choices down. And then in the back of your mind, you're wondering, like, gosh, are they going to believe me that we haven't narrowed our choices down? It's kind of – and it wasn't a report. Clayton just said he thinks. Like, he just – that was his opinion based on maybe some stuff that he's hearing, but it was more his opinion than it was a report.
Who's your favorite right now in the clubhouse? Like, if you had to – I'm giving you $100. You got to pick one of the teams that's on the odds board. Who would you put your $100 on?
I feel Buffalo.
Yeah, I do too.
And I don't know why I feel Buffalo. There's other teams that make more sense in terms of, you know, being almost a surefire thing that they can get back to the conference championships, that their quarterbacks are more bona fide and ready. But there's something about Buffalo, the atmosphere there, the defense that they run, and not even just specifically the defense. Not Leslie Frazier's scheme necessarily, but the kind of attitude that surrounds the scheme and the team in general. And the fact that they are competitors. Buffalo feels like it. And then Green Bay. And Green Bay, I think if the report is true that JJ's been offered $16 to $17 million.
Yeah, let me read that tweet real quick. I'm going to just real quick, let me read that tweet from Diana Rossini, just following up on some JJ Watt news. Diana Rossini of ESPN. Says this morning earlier, 2 hours ago, she tweeted this. J.J. Watt has received several offers from teams. The best offer he has received right now is between $15 and $16 million per year per sources.
Yeah. So now if that offer came from a contender, I think Green Bay is going to have a hard time beating that team out, you know, because I think the Green Bay is not in great cap position. They're paying their quarterback. You know, some of these other teams that are in contention for J.J. Watt's services are still have a quarterback on their rookie deal. Aaron Rodgers does not have a rookie contract, obviously. So I think they're going to have a hard time competing with that. Then it would have to turn into, okay, JJ just wants to go to Green Bay. And, you know, maybe between Green Bay. What are the sentimental favorites for JJ? The Steelers are almost an afterthought now because nobody trusts Big Ben. But there is still that appeal of his brothers. What if TJ and Derek are telling JJ, listen, Roethlisberger had some other injury or something, or his elbow flared up, and if it hadn't been for that, he's actually just as good as he ever was. He just had these little issues, these injuries that weren't made public or what have you. And what if TJ and Derek are genuinely pretty optimistic that Roethlisberger is going to be back to his old self, at least close to, you know, from a couple of years ago when he passed for 5,000 yards?
It makes it more appealing. Pittsburgh is in actual worse cap shape right now than the Green Bay Packers are. And I would look at it and I'd go, you know what? I'd still rather go play with Aaron Rodgers than play with Ben Roethlisberger. Sorry, boys.
Green Bay and Pittsburgh, I think this amount of money isn't enough to offset a lot, but I feel like the endorsement opportunities as soon as you play for Pittsburgh or Green Bay are bigger and more enduring. Even though JJ's already a big star, there's something about being attached to teams like the Cowboys, the Steelers, the Packers. That's where you start getting the discount double check money.
Yeah.
You know? There's lots of quarterbacks. I don't think Pat Mahomes is probably making as much money as Aaron Rodgers is on his endorsement deals.
Yeah. JJ for sure, unless he's got some insurance deal that we don't know about, JJ for sure is showing up in a State Farm commercial if he signs with the Green Bay Packers.
Clay Matthews was in one, wasn't he?
He was in some stuff. I don't remember.
Discount double check one with.
He might have been. Remember. He might have been. The other tweet from Diana.
I remember they were hanging out. They were hanging out, and something came through the window or something.
That's right. Diana Rossini also tweets this, Seth. Houston, this is minutes ago. Houston continues to avoid conversations with teams in regards to trading Deshaun Watson, per sources. They are refusing to trade their franchise QB. If this is a front they're putting on to eventually trading Deshaun Watson, they are carrying out the ruse very, very well right now.
In the last segment, I made an analogy about, you know, maybe at some point Deshaun Watson realizes that the options out there are the teams that are making the best offers for the Texans aren't teams that he would actually want to go to. So maybe he realizes, much like maybe when a couple is separated and a guy realizes, wow, you know what? It's not all that great out here, actually. I got to get back to work on my marriage. I gotta figure this out. So you go to marriage counseling. Is Deshaun at the stage yet, or will he come to the stage where he says, all right, you know what? I got to take one last stab at this and see if I can fix this marriage. So I asked from some of our listeners. One of our listeners said, Seth, because my question was, what if Deshaun is kind of going to marriage counseling with the Texans grudgingly? What are the chances of success? One of our listeners said, I went to rehab for cocaine, and he wanted to. I've been sober for 11 years. I get the feel Watson doesn't want to be treated. And one of our other listeners, this is the actual one I was looking for. Oh, this is one. It's hard to tell if the Texans want to go to therapy as well. They've done nothing to really show they want to reconcile. They are in this bubble of nothing to see here. That's where I disagree with that to a certain degree. For one, I think just by not accepting any calls whatsoever, not even having the conversation. You know, up in Seattle, John Schneider, their GM, he'll talk to anybody about anything all the time. So if somebody calls to talk about Russell Wilson, he'll talk about Russell Wilson. The Texans are not doing that even. They're not having any conversations. So I think that's at least part of it. And we also know that, or at least it's been reported, that Cal McNair and others have tried to reach out to Deshaun Watson, and he has not gotten back to him. So I think, you know, in my mind, when I start thinking conspiratorially, I start wondering, hey, maybe the Texans actually want to trade him. But I can't bring myself there. I think they genuinely want to bring him back. I don't know if they know how to do it or if they're qualified to do it, but I think they're trying to slow play this while at the same time, you know, extend enough olive branches to let him know that they care.
This is where, Seth, I think normally the combine would be this week. There is no combine because of COVID. And it's unfortunate. we're going to end up missing out on two things that would have been big opportunities for tells from either side. We missed out on Radio Row at the Super Bowl, which presumably Deshaun Watson would have been making the rounds on Radio Row, selling something. He endorses a bunch of products. So we theoretically missed out on Deshaun at least saying something or being asked the questions, and we get to watch him fidget a little bit before saying no comment. That's number one. Number two, though, is the combine. And we would normally be getting reports of all the different players that the Texans put in for sit-down meetings with. You know, those little 15-minute meetings at the combine. And if the Texans are sitting down with Trey Lance and with Justin Fields and with Zach Wilson, Seth, we would get a window into what their due diligence was for the draft, and that would be a huge deal. Maybe I'm oversimplifying it. Maybe these are meetings that, because they're having him on Zoom now instead of at the combine, they still need to report these things, and agents will probably still put out that, hey, my client met with the Texans or whatever. I'm just going by what we know the normal atmosphere looks like at the combine, which is we find out who all the meetings are with these guys. We would be getting some tells from the combine that we're not normally getting this week. So it does make it, in a weird way, it makes it a little bit easier for both of these sides to kind of stay in their bunkers without news that they don't want out there getting out there.
Let me give you another little tidbit about off-season timing and whatnot.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, tell me if this is valid. The guy says, quote, Texans are not trading Deshaun, all caps, unquote. Of course that's what they're saying. Season ticket payments aren't due yet. Let that first payment hit and then he's gone. Any validity to that conspiracy?
No, you know why that's, you know, I don't think that's the case is, and I made this point earlier on the this week on the show, is that I know there's a lot of season ticket holders, I'm married to one of them, who took their 2020 ticket money, you know, because there's only 13,000 fans allowed in the stands. My wife had already paid like 80% of her ticket cost for 2020. Well, they gave the option to a lot of these season ticket holders to just take that money and push it into 2021. So there's a lot of season ticket holders that are already sort of pot committed for 2021. Plus, I can't even believe that's my answer when my answer is I don't think they're making decisions based on the first payment from season ticket holders getting.
They already did the right thing and said that they're not increasing ticket prices next year. That would have been
That should have been my first answer. Sorry, Texans, if you're listening, my first answer should be no. That's silly. They're not doing it that way. But people should understand that there's a lot of season ticket holders that might want out that just can't get out now because the Texans have already got them kind of locked in for 2021.
And this is another good question from a listener that's a very basic question that we've kind of skirted around and talked about, but I guess I haven't sat down to actually handicap it. But it's as simple as, what do you think the Texans' record would be if Deshaun is here and he is full go and ready? What's the Texans' record going to be?
Save that. I want to take the break and go through that because I've got the list of opponents in front of me here. So with Deshaun Watson, how many games would the Texans be favored in next year? That's a good one. Let's touch on that. Darren Revelle, bottom of the hour. Let's touch on that next. Darren Revelle jumps in with us at the bottom of the hour from the Action Network. All right, so we had a listener ask us, okay, what do you think the Texans' record is going to be next year with Deshaun Watson? We should point out they were 4-12 this year. They were 2-8 in one score game. So we know there were some games that they played in that, you know, if Nick Martin can snap a ball to Deshaun Watson, they might win that game. They fumbled into the end zone, things like that.
And the 2-8 in one score games, that's not us just being homers. That's pretty well established that in one score games, it comes down to a coin flip.
Yeah.
More times than not. That's a bounce of a ball in the second quarter or an errant snap in the fourth quarter or what have you. So, I guess the biggest question I have, are we going to do this assuming Will Fuller is on the team or not?
It's up to you.
Let's say no Will Fuller.
No Will Fuller, okay. And to be honest, Seth, we're going to go through these and say, are the Texans going to be favored in these games? Just to give you, like, not to go too deep on the gambling stuff, a player like Will Fuller might move the line half a point, that kind of thing. Like, Deshaun's the guy. You know, Deshaun's the difference. So let's go through this. We'll rapid fire this. We're not going to sit here and break down matchups in each of these games. We're just trying to arrive at what we think the record is going to be. All right, let's start with the division games. I think it's safe to say they are underdogs. Do you think they're underdogs against Indianapolis at home and away, or just away?
Remember, This is with a healthy and engaged Deshaun Watson.
That's correct.
Everybody. This is with a healthy and engaged Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Who has the Colts have a very good defense. The Texans most likely will not, but they'll have Deshaun Watson and presumably maybe a better running game. So I'll say that the Texans will split that.
Split that.
Because
okay.
I don't trust Carson Wentz one
okay.
bit.
Okay. So I'm circling the ones they'll be favored in. So they'll be a slight favorite at home. Jacksonville, with Deshaun Watson of the Texans, like last year, favored in both games against the Jags. Or is Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence enough to at least make it where Jacksonville might be a slight favorite at home?
I think they'll lose. They'd split that too.
Split
I think
those,
Urban.
Man.
I'm more bullish on Urban Meyer than a lot of people are, apparently. But okay. Yeah, I think they'll split that.
What about the two games against Tennessee?
Tennessee, I do not think they'll be favored
either.
Well, except with an engaged Deshaun Watson, with a returned and engaged Deshaun Watson, I would split that.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, they were like 9-point underdogs at home at the end of the year last year with an engaged Deshaun Watson.
They had
with Derrick
okay,
Henry
okay,
running
you know,
for
Sean,
8 billion
Sean,
yards.
You got to remind me about the cornerback situation.
Yeah.
I keep reminding.
They
keep
have
forgetting.
None.
No, I know. I keep forgetting that the defense can actually be worse. In my mind, I keep thinking, like, okay, they'll probably be about the same on defense, but they can actually be worse next year. Okay, let me revise that and say, yeah, Titans, they'll be underdogs in both those games, and leave it at that.
Okay, now you tell me, are they favored in any of these road games?
Yes.
At Miami?
No.
At Buffalo?
No.
At Arizona?
No.
At San Francisco.
Let's see. Even with let's assume Garoppolo is the quarterback, yeah. But they got all those defensive players back healthy. No.
No. At Cleveland.
No.
All right, so they are going to be underdogs in, other than Jacksonville, possibly. They're going to be underdogs, so they're not going to win. According to the odds makers, they're going to be underdogs in all those games. So we can't say they're going to win any of those games through this exercise. All right, now here are the remaining home games. So far we've got them winning 2 out of 10 games. So here are their five remaining home games. So they've won 2 out of 11 games so far. Or they're okay. favored in 2 out of 11 games. These five games, are they favored against the Jets with Deshaun Watson at home?
Yes.
I agree with that. Are they favored against the New England Patriots with Deshaun Watson, not knowing who the quarterback is for the Patriots next year?
Versus some bro. Yes.
Yeah, they beat the Patriots this year at home.
They just have a whole bunch of cap space, though, too, this year. They'll make moves. They're going to get better.
Are they favored against the Chargers at home next year?
Oh, well, that's a good one there. Chargers. We'll have our inside edge because our offensive line coach just came from.
Yeah,
the
I'm
San
sure
Diego
he'll have all
Chargers,
sorts of so trade secrets from his one crappy year with the Chargers.
I would say no.
Okay, I would agree with you there. All right, the last two. Are they favored at home against the Rams?
Probably not. I'm going to go out on a limb there and say probably not.
Are they favored at home? This is the last one. Against the Seattle Seahawks?
No, okay. No. Not against the Seahawks.
All right. Well,
let's see. The Seahawks. Yeah, no, not next
No, they're not
year.
Favored against the Seahawks.
What did I get? Did I get four wins?
Four wins. Yeah. Indianapolis, Jacksonville, the Jets, and the Patriots at home.
To predict the team's only going to win four games, like to put that as the season over-under, that's extremely pessimistic.
Yes.
I don't think... Boy, but they don't have a first or a second round draft pick. They don't have a lot of space to make improvements.
And they suck on defense.
Yeah, they were really
Seth, they're
going to
be worse on defense this year than they were last year.
What's the worst over-under on wins you usually get?
Usually about 4.5.
4.5, that's about as low as it goes,
it's about as
right?
low as it goes, yeah.
Like the teams that end up going 1-15 or 2-14 even, those teams are... The over-under on those in the beginning of the season is usually 4.5
four,
or 5.5.
Four and a half somewhere.
So I'll probably, when I do, I mean, we'll see what happens in free agency and with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
If Deshaun Watson all of a sudden in June said, hey, I went on a retreat. I went on a vision quest. I spent 2 weeks alone in the woods with no food, and I've had an epiphany. Houston is where I need to be for the rest of my life, and I'm fully and 100% committed to this team. I've regained the weight I lost while I was off on my vision quest in the woods, and I'm ready to go. If that's the case, it's going to be – that's putting it hard. This will be by far the lowest over – it'll be the – when I do my prediction at the beginning of the season, I don't think I've ever gone lower than 7-9. It's going to be hard to get up above 5-11, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too.
6-10 is where I'd say right now, unless I'm blown away, with some offseason moves. If Deshaun Watson comes back and is engaged, I'm still going to have to predict 6-10.
Well, you touched on the key thing here, Seth, is that we're going through this exercise in the moment, which is Seth and I just rapid-fired all 16 games ago. Okay, how many would they be favored in? How many would they be underdogs in? And we estimate they're going to be favored maybe in 4 games this year. In that whole, oh, I forgot, they play 17 games this year, don't they?
Oh, yeah. We don't know exactly who the 17th is yet, right?
We don't. If it's a high school team, then they'll be favored in 5 games this year, so that'll be cool. Or if it's a lower-level college team. But put aside the fact that there's going to be a 17th game this year. You touched on the big thing, which is we're doing this exercise in the moment with this roster and assuming a re-energized and rejuvenated and re-engaged Deshaun Watson. The problem is that every other team on this schedule has more mechanisms to improve themselves than the Texans do. You hit it perfectly. Yeah, this is in the moment right now, but they can make some moves and make the defense better. Well, no, they really can't. I mean, they're kind of up against the cap, and they've got no draft capital to make this team any considerably better against any of these other teams. You know, a lot of these teams that are on here, hell, the teams that we just said they're going to be favored against, the Jets at least have $100 million in cap space. They can go spend money on things and 2 first-round picks and a high second-round pick.
They still – now, and this is where – when we had that caller the other day frankly, I probably lost my temper on a little too quickly. Was it Lupe?
Lupe.
Yeah, I got a little rough with Lupe. Well, because Lupe started off with a bad fact. Because Lupe tried to say that good quarterbacks never go 4-12, when there are actually quite a few Hall of Fame quarterbacks and recent modern quarterbacks that have had bad seasons here and there. But I don't know if there's ever been one that's gone 4. I don't know if there's been a genuinely good quarterback that's gone 4-12 2 years in a row.
Yeah,
Drew Brees went 7-9 like 3 years in a row, or 7-9, 8-8, 7-9. That might be the closest to it, but to go 4-12 2 years in a row is a realistic chance for Deshaun Watson. I think that's got to be one of the things that's probably freaking him out. As much as this might be about Jack Easterby or Cal McNair or long-term concerns, in the short term, I wonder how much of it is just him realistically realizing, oh, I just always assumed that with me at quarterback, we'd at least win 9 or 10 games. But I just saw my best passing performance for a season be rewarded with a 4-12 record. What's my legacy going to be if all of a sudden I'm this guy that goes 4-12 2 years in a row?
Well, you never look at it assuming that your front office is going to be so inept that you'd wind up with a defense on the other side of the football like the one the Texans have right now. That a team would make so many bad decisions with contracts, with draft capital, with who to keep and who to let go. You know, when Deshaun Watson got here, Jadeveon Clowney was a perennial Pro Bowler. J.J. Watt was coming off of an injury, but he's J.J. Watt. Whitney Mercilus was still playing at a relatively high level. Bernardrick McKinney was a Pro Bowl inside linebacker. They actually had players in the secondary, Kareem Jackson, Jonathan Joseph, that had been productive. You know, you get here early in your career like Deshaun, and you never look at that defense and go, okay, it's just going to all go to hell in a handbasket the way it has, but that's where we are right now. And unfortunately, one of the guys who's had his fingerprints on that reshaping of the defense is still in the building and carries maybe the most influence of anybody in the building. That would scare the hell out of me if I were Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
100%.
So 4-12 right now, but with hopefully a revision upwards.
Yeah, I don't think if Deshaun is here, I don't think they go 4-12 again. But the point of that exercise is it's in play. You know what I mean? It's absolutely in play. All right. Darren Revelle, Action Network, is going to join us in the next segment. I want to ask Darren Revelle about Tiger Woods. Does the potential of Tiger Woods never doing anything of substance on a golf course again, how does that impact the business of golf? Or has Tiger Woods' downfall already been absorbed into the balance sheet of golf? That and a whole lot more we'll get into with Darren Revelle of the Action Network next. Been a couple weeks since we got to catch up with our good friend from the Action Network, Darren Revelle. You can download the free Action Network app and follow all your sports. We got March Madness coming up pretty soon. A lot of good reasons to have that Action Network app. Darren, it's nice to have the temperatures back in the 70s here and not be in a deep freeze and be able to talk to you once again. How are you today?
No sympathy for that, although I'm very glad that you guys have the amenities that you should have in these times. So No sympathy for the cold, though.
Yeah, I got you. Know. I figured that the temperature, I wasn't going to get a sympathetic ear, but we appreciate
you. As my children have an outside birthday party in 21 degrees.
Oh, what's the theme? Is the theme Frozen?
We actually, we're bringing these kids up right. We had this Sunday ice cream floats and a hot cocoa float if you wanted to go the other way.
I like it.
So we made do, but it had to be outside and masks and everything. So
Hey Darren, we completely forgot there's a pandemic going on. We were too busy trying to get our electricity back down here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, Darren, the big news this week in the sports world was the Tiger Woods car crash. And I'm curious from a business standpoint, look, there's no athlete in my lifetime that I can remember who's more directly tied to the trajectory of the business of his sport than Tiger Woods is. And I'm just curious, it's obviously up in the air now as to whether or not he's going to get back on the course again, be able to play anything close to the level that even this latter part of the career Tiger had been playing at. Does the business of golf already have it baked in that Tiger's not what he used to be? Or is this something here that if he doesn't get back on the course at all, this is another big hit the sport's going to take?
Yeah, I mean, it's been very hard to figure out, obviously tragedy, but it's been harder to figure out because things have been kind of, I believe, purposefully vague as to, although the surgeons have talked about the technicality of things, I think it's been purposefully vague. I don't believe, based on me talking to doctors who read that report, obviously not someone who treated Tiger, that he will ever step on the golf course for another competitive round. And I think the PGA Tour probably has been briefed as such.
Really?
I mean, I don't really, this is real, leg reconstruction. And, the idea of even walking 18 holes might be completely out of the question.
Is that at least partly because of his age as well, or is it just that severe of an injury that even if you're 22 years old, professional golf might not be in the cards?
I mean, when you're in, 7 to 8 hours of surgery, and you're what was involved. I mean, people hear like, oh, pins and screws and stuff like that, and like, oh, everyone gets that, and it's like, no, like I spoke to a couple team doctors, a couple orthopedists, a couple emergency doctors. And by the way, like I this was just for me, for my, hey, what should I be talking about? I would tell you that, not to bash Jimmy Roberts, but I mean, I got to say he came on the Today Show yesterday and was talking about, Tiger's will to get back. This has nothing to do with will at all. So I think you asked me if it's baked in. No, it's him falling off the face of the earth in terms of never playing a competitive round of golf again, which I think is the odds-on favorite right now, is not baked in. No.
Is he somebody, Darren, who even when he's not active playing the sport still represents at least some big chunk of revenue? I think of Michael Jordan. There's still tens, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of Jordan shoes that get sold. Michael Jordan hasn't stepped on an NBA court as a player in two decades. Is Tiger that kind of guy, or do you see Tiger as somebody who's going to maybe fade into the background a little bit more?
Yeah, I think it would be that way. Although if you look at Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus, obviously there's a long line of golfers who have served as ambassadors and have done business relationships long after their playing days are done. I think it's going to be up to Tiger and how much he can get out there. Thankfully, it at least seems like, who knows? At least in the initial investigation, that there was nothing negative in terms of, anything that he could have taken or drank or this and that. I mean, because I would say that if it were that, we'd be talking about something else, like, hey, what type of would corporate America want to give him another chance?
Yeah.
But if this is truly an accident, as it seems to be, you know, then it's going to be up to him. I think what he wants to do and how much he wants to get out there.
Speaking with Darren Revelle from the Action Network, Darren, there's an article that just came out in The Athletic this morning that paints a picture in Seattle that Russell Wilson might, it might be more realistic that Russell Wilson gets traded than maybe we previously believed. And you look at what's happened in the NFL this year with quarterback trades, then you think about the quarterbacks who are agitating for trades, and things have changed a lot. I've got a theory. I've got a theory, and it's that quarterbacks are acting more like diva wide receivers than wide receivers. Like, the quarterback is the diva position now. And I think it's because quarterbacks, for the first time in a long time, are being treated almost like commodities, I think, where teams are looking at them like on a more transactional basis, and that perhaps it's are quarterbacks feeling a little bit more desperate about getting in the right situation or being treated by the right team or feeling perhaps not a loyalty from their team?
Well, it does seem, given, you know, Deshaun Watson, Russell Westbrook, guys who you would think, you know, have enough built up that they should be catered to and made happy, that apparently that's not being done. And I'm surprised, obviously, given history, that it's come to this point, because, you know, the quarterback's the one who starts every play with the ball. I mean, you know, so you'd think you'd need to make those guys happy. But I don't know. You know, maybe some of it has to do with the NBA kind of model of, hey, we're going to go somewhere else. You know, we're going to construct our own team, or we're going to talk amongst ourselves, and I'm going to be in a place where, you know, where I can be happy. You know, you look at the NBA and the freedom that the NBA guys seem to have on free agency, and it's night and day.
Yeah, Darren, I guess along those lines, I'm glad you brought up the NBA. Look, it's easier to create a super team in the NBA because there's only five guys on the court at one time. You know, one or two guys can have a major, major impact. Now, so can a quarterback in the NFL, but it's harder to create a quote-unquote super team. I guess just in terms of fan interest, being able to connect with a team, has this era of player empowerment and guys moving around so much been good for the NBA? And is this good for the NFL right now, that these quarterbacks are potentially creating a similar type of environment in their sport?
I don't know if it's – listen, not everything is in a vacuum. I mean, there are some things that are good for the NBA that look like, you know, overall good for the NBA, and there's some things that aren't. I don't think that player movement and player freedom has taken a lot out of the game. I think some of that is based on, as betting and fantasy has risen, overall team loyalties have dropped.
Yeah.
So you don't really, in aggregate, you don't really care where someone's playing, as long as they put up the stats or you know, make SportsCenter, or, you know, or is your top NBA Top Shot.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Well, the other thing that we've noticed now in this brave new era of quarterback trades or just player movement is that some of the, like, the old school football writers, and you're somewhere between new school and old school, I'd say. By age, you might be old school, but you're a youthful minded guy.
Thank you.
Every step along the way, we've seen, well, look, Antonio Brown's never going to get traded. His team wouldn't take that cap hit. Oh, my. They're not going to trade Odell Beckham Jr. They just gave him that huge contract. Oh, there's no way Carson Wentz will ever get traded. And they keep saying it over and over again and every step along the way. And some of those same guys are still saying, well, there's no possible way the Texans could ever trade Deshaun Watson.
Right.
It seems as if there's almost no financial repercussion anymore that is enough of a barrier to trading a guy.
Yeah, no, I mean, really, if we have, as you just said, if we haven't learned by now that anyone can go or anyone can be released – you know, I know stats were down, but J.J. Watt, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, even if it's him telling the team that. I mean, let's not forget, back in the day, if someone wanted to leave, it was like, you know, it wasn't, hey, release me. Hey, thanks, appreciate it. it wasn't like that. So I do think it, we are dealing with a much looser environment here.
Where would you like to see J.J. Watt end up, Darren?
As just a friend, yeah. I would just like him to be happy. Just like him to be happy. So, you know, I don't really know. I mean, the thing that I would say is that, you know, it is kind of comical. Like, fans should know that, like, you know, he certainly can't go to all 32 teams or 31 teams, right? Like there are some horrendous cap issues out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'd want him to be happy, at a place that treats him right and a place where he could thrive again. And I think a place that would appreciate him, because I think his community part is a big part of him.
Huge, huge. Absolutely. Darren Revelle, Action Network, joining us on the show. Darren, the reports out this week were that the NFL and Disney are way, way far apart right now in that Monday Night Football package. I guess just a general question. How do you foresee this next round of TV negotiations going with the NFL, just given that we're coming out of a pandemic, that the landscape of how people consume these games is changing? What do you see as the major, major storylines kind of heading into this?
Well, I might be a bad guy to ask, because I was wrong last time. When the last time this went around, I said, well, you know, we're at least going to see a substantive deal or push from a Hulu, Netflix, Amazon, Apple. And then that, other than the Amazon deal for Thursday Night Football, nothing really came to light. You would think at some point, Amazon, who, you know, the 1.5 billion probably for Monday Night Football. I mean, that is a drop in the bucket, much more of a drop in the bucket to Amazon than it is for Disney. You would think that there's something with one click or micropayments with betting, right? Like that there could be a seamless sports betting in the states that are legal. And by the time the next deal comes around, you know, we'll have 35 states, 40 states legal. I would think that those guys would emerge because they could make the most sense of things, especially if they tie sports and betting and have kind of that type of interface. But maybe I'll be wrong again. But to me, in order to get an increase, you need to have a paradigm shift, and it has to manifest itself by some sort of new player in the game where the model is greater than the incumbent.
Yeah, that's where I am. Look, I tried cutting the cord just as an experiment, and to do it all legally, especially. Well, actually, to do it illegally, it's a huge pain in the ass because you're bouncing around trying to find a stream that's still active.
And then it's like messing with the rabbit ears on the
yeah, and then I did it legally as well. Just kind of as an experiment. And not only did it cost more money as a sports fan, it's a bigger pain in the ass. Like the technology just isn't there yet. I watched the Super Bowl 2 years ago streaming, and it sucked. I couldn't DVR.
And then obviously I'm always thinking about betting. The other problem is on live betting. If you're live betting and you're 14 seconds behind, lose your. You are playing with the wrong deck,
and it's a much less enjoyable experience. I think for the very people that are most likely to be early adopters of cutting the cord, if you're a sports fan, it also ruins the other part of the experience, which is the social media aspect. Because I'm seeing on Twitter what happens on a play that I'm not going to see for another 30 seconds.
Yep.
So I'm just until the technology and the bandwidth worldwide and nationwide improves, I don't think we're there yet.
Well, I explain it to people because people always joke that I have a faster like sports betting TV, like all my friends, because I'm 3 seconds or 4 seconds ahead. And for me, you know, that's actually worth $2,400 because I got it even with social media, I need that 3 or 4 seconds. I'm doing a lot of live betting. I need the best, you know, quickest to live as possible. So, like, you're right. The tech is not there. I can't even consider doing that.
Darren Revelle, Action Network. Download that free Action Network app. Get you ready for all the basketball we've got coming up in the next few weeks. That'll be nice to have March Madness.
We got a lot of new things in the app. Make sure you get your update. We have incredible props update. It is a new look tracker. It's looking slick. So make sure if you're ready to download the Action Network, make sure you put in the update because they put in a ton of work.
Guess what I'm going to go do right after the show? Got to go get my update on that Action Network app for sure.
Good.
Yeah, download it for free. Hey, Darren, we always appreciate the time and the insight, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Darren Revelle joining us on the program each and every week. Yeah, this Russell Wilson thing, Seth, we've got people texting in. Hey, play the breaking news sounder. Russell Wilson has given the Seahawks trade destinations. I've not seen that, although I have not read the article yet in The Athletic that you just brought to my attention during the break, but the article is from someone by the name of Michael Sean Dugar, D-U-G-A-R.
They brought out all the heavy hitters. It's Mike Sando. Sando's on it too.
Yeah.
And Jason Jenks. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's interesting because remember the piece that The Athletic did on Deshaun Watson over the weekend? There was a group effort. It was Jenks, Sando, and Aaron Reese. Dugar must be the Aaron Reese of the Seattle beat.
So potential. Now this says potential destinations. Pro Football Focus cited the article. They said Russell Wilson's camp has approached the Seahawks for a potential trade. And this article is really good if you have an Athletic subscription. It talks about a meeting in which Russell Wilson tried to give his advice on what the offense needed to do. The Seahawks apparently disregarded his advice or dismissed it, and Wilson walked out angry. So the potential destinations right now include the Dolphins.
Okay.
The Jets. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
The Saints. Okay. Very interesting. Boy, you talk about the difference going from Pete Carroll to Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Going from a defensive guy to an offensive guy. A defensive guy obsessed with the run to an offensive guy. And then and the Raiders.
And the Raiders. Okay, that would be interesting. Russell Wilson in Vegas with John Gruden. Okay, we'll dig into this more tomorrow. I'm sure John and Landry, and I'm sure the afternoon show has this as well. This is not great news if you're a Texan fan that thinks they're eventually going to trade Deshaun Watson. The fewer franchise quarterbacks that are disgruntled wanting trades, the better for the Texans. It's all supply and demand, people. It's what it is. All right, Seth, we are done. Antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and a soft landing spot after your trade request.
I am not going anywhere. I don't want to get traded. I like where I am. All right, we like where you are, too.
So they all say, and then all of a sudden they're traded, Sean.
We'll see. I may be putting
You're not accepting any calls, yada, yada, yada. I gotcha. Yeah.
All right, we're done. In the Loop is up next. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. Ben Gary, nice job. Seth, good stuff. And we will do it again tomorrow at 6 a.m. Have a great day, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.